On my program today, I'm going to visit with Alex Delworth. Alex is with the Center for Rural Affairs, and he is a policy associate. Recently released a report called Windswept Fields of Opportunity, Iowa Wind Energy County Tax Impact Studies. And Alex, thanks for taking time visiting with us. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me on to talk about it.
So a little bit about yourself. Again, working on this particular thing as a policy associate, is this an area that you just wanted to take a look at? How did you get tabbed to impacts that it's having?
Yeah, so I manage, so the Center for Rural Affairs is based out of Nebraska. We have in our energy team, underneath the center works in four states, South Dakota, Minnesota, Iowa, and Nebraska. And I manage our Iowa portfolio, due to a number of things, but one of them being making reports to kind of create some positive messaging towards renewables, and then also create guidance for supervisors that are going through ordinance developments.
Well,
I was tasked to do this. Oh, yeah. Sorry.
No, I was going to say, that's one of the ongoing things. Yeah, getting information for supervisors like that. They're the ones that are facing some challenges out here making some of these decisions.
Correct. Yeah, they are the front line between, kind of crafting the regulations for wind in their counties and different areas of Iowa. Iowa is really special that every county can kind of create their own rules towards wind, and the supervisors have that sort of power, I guess.
Yeah. So when you were doing this, the report, and so I had a chance to read some of the press release on this information, but basically you took a look at, in the Iowa portfolio here, case studies from three different counties.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we worked with county officials from three different counties, Story, which is our XDU guys, Ida, and Marshall, and studied the historical development of wind in their counties, when they introduced turbines, and the total production capacity, I guess, of those turbines, how they collected the revenues, and then the strategy for dispersing those funds, and the projects or the impact, that economic impact that they had on the county.
So do you go back, I mean, roughly they've been around, what, 20 years or so? You kind of go back to the beginning for each county and figure out how did you do this, or why did you do it? What's been the results, I'm guessing?
Yeah. So the wind energy industry in Iowa has been, established for several years. I think they were introduced in the mid-2000s. And since then, we're second in total wind energy production in the country among all the states. And we are a leader in, like, our net electricity generation thing. We get 64% of our energy from wind, which is the highest share of any state in the country.
It's definitely been growing and continues to grow. And I know there are people that will debate. We're not going to debate any points about closure, post-closure, or any of the other things like that. What I did want to find out was, because I know some of the things you've looked into, each county has kind of done it a little bit differently, as I understand. Obviously, there's resources, revenue coming in, generation that's been done and accomplished. The landowners, they get dollars out of this too.
Yeah, our report mostly focused on the specific benefits and tax revenue that came into the counties and different taxing bodies like schools and emergency services, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. We didn't really touch the landowner payments, but it is also a significant portion. In 2021, the industry in a total generated $57 million in state and local taxes. I think it was $67 million in direct landowner payments as well.
Yeah.
And so the point of this was to kind of dig deeper and figure out exactly what the financial impact was on rural counties.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about, let's go with our local counties here. Ida, I know, is one of them, Marshall, and Story was the other. So let's talk about Story County and the tax benefits there. How did that come in at the county level? And I'm guessing, is there a way they make a decision how they're going to use those?
Yeah, so I think it's important to kind of point out here, and I probably should have mentioned this before, was the how taxes work in Iowa for wind is essentially there's a special valuation that kind of comes into play that I think it was passed sometime in the 90s before wind had really taken off. But essentially, it takes the total valuation, which has some kind of weird stuff that was explained in the report. We don't really go into details over the radio here, but that valuation and income is consistent over the lifetime of the project after a certain time. It's after about 7 years. It builds every year from zero, and then after that 7th year, it's consistent over the lifetime of the project. Mm-hmm. And so when these turbines are introduced in the mid-2000s, you know, they are going to be collecting revenue for as long as those turbines are still there. And so it never stops until they're discontinued.
So
specifically for Story. So to answer your question though, specifically for Story County and the different counties and how they determine it, they, from what we studied, the different counties used two different methods. They used tax increment financing, which is really popular, and method for funding like economic development projects.
Mm-hmm.
And it's more of a standard taxing method. So Marshall County was the only one that we studied that used that. And they essentially is just taxing the property like any other property would be in the county. And it goes directly, the standard rates that you would apply to a house essentially is applied to the turbines and goes to the county, to the schools, and those rates, applicable rates apply. Story County, though, used to tax increment financing, which is really important, which is unique or special because they're able to fund, special projects, which Story and Ida County both did. And they did some really impactful stuff.
Okay. So it's a matter of what the supervisors are looking at, what will fill the needs of what they're looking at long term. If they start seeing this development create a district for it, that would be the TIF district that a lot of people, everybody kind of goes, when you say that. But they've got targeted economic growth that they're looking at.
Yeah, when we were talking to officials, they mentioned, we talked about other counties essentially, mm-hmm. And they're looking at each other's strategies like, oh, that's really good. We could have used this different. And they basically acknowledge that the different strategies are beneficial for different reasons, sure. And address the different needs that counties have.
Like a targeted one for a rural area in particular, I'm guessing, like Ida, roads, obviously. Then you only get so much money from the state and federal government for roads. Bridges cost a bundle. So, I mean, anytime you've got things like that to do, it would be a targeted source that you would have.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it's also, officials enjoy it as well because you can fund the project that you get the funds up front and you can finance it down the road instead of, collecting it every year. Yeah.
It's a means of financing some of their growth and development and they built it in as part of their, again, they have several options, I'm sure. It's several buckets to pick from. And there are certain things you can do with it, I'm sure. But we know that it's not always as easy as it seems. And then you got regular revenues that would flow like to schools, you said.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so they, again, that would work right into their total tax, I'm guessing.
Correct. Yeah. Marshall County was like that. They pulled in, in 2023, they were able to collect $2.4 million. And one challenge of this report was you were having to really kind of work with the auditor to kind of dig through some really specific financial data from the county.
Sure.
And trying to apply different rates and stuff to try and figure out exactly the impact. So we also found that the wind projects in Marshall County contributed $1.3 million to school districts and was able to fund about $700 in funding per student in one particular school district. And I think one kind of important note, since we're in Pendleton County here as well, is that Marshall County had 116 turbines, and I think Boone County has around 200. So I don't know exactly how the tax setup is in Boone County, but that's kind of the expectation is what you'd see in terms of funding.
So they should ask, they could ask their supervisor. I don't know. We know for in Boone County, we had a couple. We just recently had the Great Pathfinder Wind Farm go on. online. And again, already had Mid-Americans, Beaver Creek, the portion in Boone County here. And Greene County, yes, right next to us, a big number of wind turbines there. They've got the, they might have, be doing it differently. It might be the same wind farm, but again, you're working with different companies and they have different methods that they use, I'm sure, for the development of these. So pretty interesting.
Yeah.
So again, the information that you've been collecting going through here and things like this, so bottom line to me looks like, economically speaking, it seems to be a good investment that we're seeing in our rural area.
Yeah, overall, I mean, what we found from this was, you know, this increased revenue has allowed counties to, you know, increase funding to essential services, make, you know, really necessary infrastructure improvements like in Ida County with their road system, you know, pay for those special projects, all without raising the tax burden on community members. Mm-hmm. I think that was the really important part.
Yeah. And of course we know the flip side is the argument is it's in my backyard too.
Yeah, and I think when people, a lot of the, I guess, opposition or resentment, I guess, to wind from people in these counties has been, I think they don't, it's hard to see, I guess, how it benefits them. You know, all you do is see it. And so I think this report does a good job of kind of showing what the community benefits are. And, you know, Story County did a lot of park improvements, you know, Main Street revitalizations, you know, funding community centers, you know, revitalizing, you know, old, you know, there was an opera house in one of the towns in Story County. Sure. that we contributed funding to. I think showing those specific community impacts, I think it shows that it doesn't just benefit the landowner as opposed to that.
Yeah. So it's, and again, it's part of our generation now that's showing up again, as far as electrical generation. So I know, you know, we're talking specifically here about wind energy and the wind fields and the wind farms that are out there. And we know that there are opportunities that they are still looking for others that are expecting to expand and stuff. I'm not going to say we're getting to the area of overpopulation. I don't know what the actual numbers would be. But we're also seeing people looking at solar, and there are some concerns, again, at multiple levels about just how much could that take in, and what, again, because we're talking a lot of productive land that could be involved with that as well. So you got quite the toss-up working there.
Yeah, solar is something that's just now sort of taking off in Iowa. Wind has been the primary renewable development, obviously, for a long mm-hmm. time. I think we're just now getting to the point of the IEB approving some of the larger projects. And yeah, there is, I think, some concern with the combination of solar being on agricultural land. It's, you know, I think you see, you know, I think he's, I don't know, these larger projects getting up to, you know, 1,000 acres in one spot. I think it's really important, and something that we, I guess, talk about a lot is there's potential for co-benefits, I guess, with mm-hmm. with dual use and more traditional agricultural practices on these types of things. They're also very supportive of the ground underneath these large solar arrays being planted with native vegetation, which can improve, you know, the ground, you know, the soil quality, and, you know, pasture land and stuff like that.
We're just really scratching the surface on what opportunities might be out there.
Yeah. Iowa State, I know, started doing some research. And also, my alma mater, Purdue University, is doing more research as well on the kind of the combination with more of the traditional row cropping of, mm-hmm. of corn and soybeans versus the stuff that we've mostly seen in dual use being practiced so far is more of solar grazing, which offers really great benefit for beginning farmers. I done a story of somebody in Fairfield, Iowa, that didn't have access to land, but was able to pay for a flock of for a certain head of sheep, I think, and,
sure.
and was able to graze underneath the solar panels all summer and feed them, and then sell them off at the end of the year. Great opportunity for beginning farmers. And with the pollinator habitats, the native vegetation management that we really are supportive of, you can also have solar beekeeping on the sites as well. Just having sort of a dual use, creating more, economic opportunities in rural spaces like that, yeah.
Visiting with Alex Delworth is a policy associate for the Center for Rural Affairs, and I know he said working out of Nebraska, but we do have an office here in Nevada. Number of people from that office I know have been around when we've had some discussions going on about wind energy and things like that. And again, this is all information that is available. And if they want to find out more about your report, the best would be you've got it online through CFRA, through centerforruralaffairs.org.
Yeah, centerforruralaffairs.org, CFRA.org, but if you just look up Center for Rural Affairs, the wind tax revenue report, that should pop up.
It's called Windswept Fields of Opportunity, Iowa Wind Energy County Tax Impact Studies, and people can dig through the numbers if they wish to find out a little bit more about how, again, individual counties do it. It doesn't include Boone County, folks. It is basically Story, Ida, and Marshall, kind of a comparison on how different counties handle wind turbines and wind farms in their counties. Alex, I appreciate you taking time visiting with us, giving us a little update on what's going on with this report, some of the things that you found out of it, and again, appreciate the opportunity to visit with you. Thanks so much.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. This was really fun.